All right, anyways. Well, if you got your place from this morning, you don't have to go far in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. If you just go on over in the chapter, we're going to read verse 13 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. I try to be a little diverse in my preaching. I try to cover more of an area than just staying in one little room all the time. But I think there's just some things that the Lord just won't let me get too far from because they're so important right now. It's so urgent that everybody understand these things and be diligent in these areas, these things. And, I fear that a lot of people don't pay attention. They're not taking it seriously enough or at all. But let's read this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Now, quit you like men, that's kind of hard for people to understand because they don't even understand what a man is anymore. They ain't seen one in so long, they don't even know. This young generation, I'm telling you, it's pitiful where we've come to, where we've fallen to. But watch ye. This is a charge. Watch ye. Watch. Jesus told us that. I say that often. Jesus told us often, watch. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Watch means to keep awake. It means to stay vigilant. You watch. It's something that some of us do, like when we're out in public. I try to watch. I try to not just be in dreamland. I try to not just not pay attention to what's going on around me. I watch other people that are oblivious to what's around them. I scold my wife pretty often because she's not paying attention. People get in your space and they get close enough to you to do about anything they want to, and you're not even aware. Pay attention to what's around you. I try to watch all around me all the time. Well, I'm driving a car. I got in that habit a long time ago, to be aware of all around you. I look in the mirror often, often, often. I don't just drive down the road oblivious to what's behind me, It's a good thing to get in that habit. The other night I pulled up and let Elizabeth out. Dakota's car was sitting there because he'd left it for her. I got in the car and started backing up. Well, I looked and I'm watching in this mirror. It's just a habit that I've got. I always look and I always look back. I never just go backwards looking in one spot. Because everything, and it's a good thing I did, because I just came real close to bonking your car again, Dakota. Mercy, poor Dakota in his car. Almost got you again. But if I hadn't had that habit of watching everywhere, watching all around, and that's what this is speaking of. Watch ye. Watch ye. Are you watching? Are you aware that the enemy is out to get you? He's out to get your children. He's out to destroy your home.
Yes, sir. He is. That's right.
Are you watching? Are you alert? Do you take it seriously? Are you aware of the danger that's around you? Now, I'm not talking about that we live in fear, but you don't want to live in ignorance and stupidity and blindness. Pay attention so that you can be ready to do something about it before it turns into a disaster. Watch ye. Keep awake. Stay vigilant. We put people to guard important people and things. It's amazing to me how all these people in the government that want to get rid of guns, all these celebrities that want to get rid of guns, even this we're talking about today, this punk David Hogg that's going around. That boy don't know nothing about nothing, and somehow he's some kind of representative for the anti-gun people. He's got armed guards now. Hey, you hypocrite. If you don't believe in guns, get them away from you. If you think we're all safer without them, then don't you guard yourself with them.
That's right.
No, common sense tells you that anybody that counts for anything is guarded. Mm-hmm. We were talking about Sarah Huckabee Sanders getting kicked out of the restaurant there in Lexington, Virginia. It's hard for me to imagine that people like her that are so high profile and so attacked and hated by the media and these hate mongers is out in public in a restaurant eating. I just can't hardly, it's too easy for everybody's armed nowadays. And all these hate mongers, they got guns too. They may say they don't believe in guns, but they got them. Yes, they do. Ain't been too long ago that one of the congressmen was a campaigning hard. He was one of these diehard campaigners for getting rid of the guns. And guess what? He was carrying a gun. Got caught. He carried a gun. Telling everybody else, you don't need guns. We need to take all the guns. He was so fanatical about it. He was for confiscating guns, taking everybody's guns. And he's got one in his pocket. You lying hypocrite, you dirty low-down snake, you. Yeah, that's what I think it is. We put people in to guard important people, and we put people to guard important things. And their job, what is their job? To watch. Their job is to watch. Do you ever watch the president when he's going anywhere? Or any of those other important people? Do you watch the men? They don't have women doing that. If they do, it's not very many, and they have a different job. The guys that guard the president are men, and they're usually pretty good-sized men. And what are they doing? When you look at them and you watch as they're moving him around, what are these guys around him doing? They are watching, buddy. They are totally oblivious to this. They're watching the crowd. They're looking for any little move, any little sign of danger. That's what the Lord is telling us to do here about our life. You better be if you're a father, you better be guarding your wife, your children, your family. You better be guarding yourself. And all that's earthly stuff. But you better be guarding your soul too, because the devil's after you just as much as all this wickedness is around us is after us. Yes. Most of what they watch for are things that sneak in silently. That's what they're watching for. They're not looking for some big thing to jump up. They're watching for the little, silent, sneaky, stealthy things. That's what they're watching for. If you're a guard, that's what you got to do. The thief's not going to just come charging in, is he? Where there's armed guards, he's not just going to come full force charging in. Not likely he's going to do that. What's he going to do? Sneak. He's going to sneak. He's going to try to slip in without you seeing him. Well, what do you think the devil is going to do to you in your mind, in your heart? What's he going to do to get you? Just come at you full force, head on, charge with a rebel yell? No, he's going to sneak in silently when you're not watching. Watch ye, it says. Better put a guard. Put a watch on your mind. Put a watch on your eyes, on your heart, on your ears. You better put a watch on it. Something better be guarding. Anything that's sneaky is sinful because it's necessarily has to be deceitful. If it's sneaky, you ought to watch for that in kids. I do. A sneaky kid is much more dangerous than just a kid that's don't want to obey. And a kid that just openly disobeys, there's more hope of him than there is the sneaky one that slips around and smiles and charms and then does the dirty things on the sly.
Yeah, it's true.
The command is given to us about our soul, and particularly about our knowledge of what's right and what is wrong. Stand fast in the faith. Be strong. Quit ye like men, be strong. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. It's about what we know, what we believe, and have believed about what is right and wrong. We're to watch, and not to kick back and forget about it. You know, Baptists are big on security. There's this thing where it's, you know, you want to get something just settled and then forget about it. Well, no, you shouldn't think of it that way. Now, I believe when you get saved, you know it. And you can rest in that and have peace in the fact that you're saved and you're a child of God. And you shouldn't be worrying about that all the time, whether you're saved or not. If you are, you got something trouble. There's something wrong there in your faith. You need to check it out. But this idea of just kicking back and saying, oh, I'm going to heaven no matter what I do. No, I can't be taken out of God's hand because I'm just safe. And then just that attitude that develops there of just, I'm safe and secure. It's kind of like our country right now. A lot of people think that they couldn't get us. We're too big. I mean, they can't get us. You know, we're all armed. We'll fight them. They ain't going to bother us. All right, we got our military. We got our missiles. We got all this stuff. We got these big ships. I mean, we're guarded. They can't get us. Jerusalem shall never be moved. I mean, she sitteth as a queen. She'll never be moved. She got burned to the ground. Yeah, that's what happened. And that's what happened. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. It's the same way with a soul, with an individual. That's why it says watch ye. That's why Jesus warned us over and over. Man, wake up. Pay attention. Watch what's going on around you. Watch what's being thrown at you. Watch what you listen to. Watch what you swallow as truth. Man, I hope y'all don't believe everything you read, you see. I question everything now. It's, you know, it didn't used to be this way. And I mean, 20 years ago, it wasn't like this. It was beginning to be, but not like this. You can't believe nothing. And you better learn that quickly. And you better be watching. Don't allow your emotions and your mind to be carried away with something you read about somebody. You know, either side of this issue, like we were talking about the polarization. Now, we know what a liberal is. And we got lots of names for them. We know what a socialist is and a communist, and we know these politicians. We know what a Democrat, you know, what it represents. We know. But better be careful. Even people who are on the conservative side or even the religious Christian side, they pump out false information too. And if you're going to be fair, and if you're going to be right in your judgment, and if you're going to have a fair balance, because a false balance is abomination in the sight of the Lord. And if you go around and you just read something somebody says about somebody, even if it's Obama or somebody like that or his wife, you know, you got to be fair. You can't just swallow that down and say, well, that low down. You better check it out and see if it's true or not. You better not allow yourself to be carried away with hatred or ill feelings, condemnation towards somebody just on what somebody said. Don't do it. Watch ye. You get carried away. You get carried away. And you get to feeding on that stuff, that hatred and stuff. And you shouldn't do that. I'm telling you, it happens all the time. People get awoken to righteousness. Even people that are far off into that nonsense and stuff. I keep encouraging you to read that tract back here on the rack about the evidence of God. You ought to read that. And it shows you, I mean, it's just an example of somebody that was in the far out land of fantasy. And they come to know the Lord. And to understand. And so we can't be that way with those people. You know, we shouldn't hate them just because they hate us. Our spiritual ancestors didn't do that. They didn't. They never responded to hatred with hatred, because they read the Word of God and it says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Love your enemies, Jesus says. It's been said of old time, you hate your enemy and love your enemy. He said, now I'm saying unto you, love your enemies. I said, how in the world? Well, you better figure it out, because Jesus said that's what we're supposed to do. So you better study that and try to figure out what he's talking about. Because that's one of the places where we're vulnerable and where we don't watch very close. If we don't watch diligently, we're not obedient to God's command. And we're doomed for shipwreck and failure. This is important. I mean, we're commanded this in the Bible over and over. Watch. Watch. And if we ignore it and we don't do it, then we're doomed to some disastrous end in our life. I mean, we're headed for trouble if we don't pay attention to what God says here. We have to be diligent, watching for things that try to tear down or change what we have learned from the Word of God to be right or wrong. Paul talked about the faith of Timothy. It was in his mother and Lois and in his grandmother Eunice. Did I get them backwards? Yeah, all right. His mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. That faith. They passed it out. They taught him about the Lord and what to believe. They taught him about what was right and wrong. You've been taught what's right and wrong. You know. You better watch about people, about influences, about things you read, things you watch, things you let them enter your mind that oppose what you've been taught about what's right and wrong. Yes, sir. Better be careful. You better be on guard and not find yourself one of these days in a sea of confusion because you allowed something to come into your life that cut the ropes and let you drift. And you end up not knowing which way to go, not knowing where home is anymore. Watch. The enemies are too many and the prize is too precious to be left unguarded. It'll disappear if we don't watch diligently. Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Resist steadfast in the faith. He goes about as a roaring lion. Did you know this about a lion? A lion doesn't roar when he's stalking his prey. He's silent and quiet and he's a cat. Did you ever watch a cat? This little old house cat. Did you ever watch it stalk a bird or any other little critter? Birds especially. Cats, pretty amazing to watch how they can do that. I've always thought, man, ain't that something? A bird can just be gone like that. He can get out of reach of that cat in less than a second. But that cat gets him. And they do it over and over and over. How do they do it? The cat go up there and go, roar! And then grab the bird. That ain't how he does it, is it? That cat's as still as death. With his eye fixed on that bird. That bird he's just looking all around him and pecking on the ground, looking up, down, and that cat's still as a bird, still as he can be. And that bird will turn his head for just a split second, and that cat will go, get a little closer. When the bird is what? Not watching. Every time he's not watching for a split second, that cat gains just a little more. That's how he gets him. He finally gets close enough till he can move fast enough to get him before the bird can get off the ground. And then it's feathers everywhere and the cat has a good chicken dinner. And the bird is no more. A lion works the same way. Amos chapter 3 and verse 4. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? No. Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? I mean, the question is obviously no. It's when he gets the prey. That's when he roars. Victory. He roars. It's a brag. It's a boast. It's like a laugh. Ha 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 ha. Gotcha. Fool. For looking away. For not watching. That's the cost of not watching. You get devoured. The devil, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Who's he going to devour? Those who are not watching. Those whose minds are in neutral, just spinning the wheels and not a looking around. Going to get you. Going to get you. While you're just being entertained, while you're being amused, no think. When you're not thinking because you're being amused, you're letting something else control your mind, your thoughts, and entertain you. That's when the devil's sneaking up on you. He's taking steps towards you like a cat, and you're not aware of it. And that, you know, if you've had any serious trouble in your life, you know that that's how it happened. One day, one moment, it just all smacked you to the ground. And you didn't see it coming. You had no idea. You were totally unaware of what was about to happen to you. You didn't have any idea of what the enemy, what those around you were planning for you, what they were working for you, for your demise, until it hit you. That's the way it happens. And the devil is patient enough to work it for a long time, preparing for your defeat. Think about that. I'm talking to you. You. Everybody in here. Think about it. He can get us, man, if we're not watching. But we're to be sober. We're to watch and to be vigilant because our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When we're watching and we see something that is dangerous, we're to put a stop to it and cast it out. Now, I guarantee you, law or no law, if I went outside and there's a mountain lion hanging around my house waiting at the door for me to come out, if there's a snake out there, he's going to die. Not me. I'm going to get him. If I know he's out there, if I'm watching and I see him and I know he's doing it, I ain't going to just ignore him. When I see a danger, I'm going to put a stop to it. You would too. If I find somebody sneaking around my house, you know, there's going to be something done about it. I'm not going to just say, well, I hope he goes away. He's probably just passing through. No, no. Somebody's telling me the other day about they had, the guy that was come to fix our internet. He said that he had to be away from home a lot, and they live way out in the woods, and said he's got kids and they're homeschool and everything. Said he was off an hour and something away from home. Said his wife called him and said, there's somebody looking in the window. You got to come home. Hour and something away from home. Said when he got home, he said they got their guns and said they went through the woods everywhere looking and they couldn't never find nobody. But, you know, they went looking for him. That's the way you deal with danger. Threats with people who stalk you and who intend to hurt you. Animals that intend to hurt you. Whatever the thing is, whatever the danger is, you, unless you're just completely ignorant and a coward and foolish, you go to deal with it. But when it comes to your soul's welfare, when it comes to holding on to the truth, are you that diligent? Do you let danger hang around close and just ignore it? David said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. I'll let no wicked thing in my house. He wouldn't listen to a wicked person. All those things David said. I mean, they're dangerous. They're a danger to your soul. They're the devil's emissary sent to you to wreck you, to get you to stumble so that he can get you. We ought to deal with that kind of danger just as seriously and just as determinedly as we do with people who threaten our family, our own life, our animals. There's a black snake out around our house. Well, he got away. But now she's worried because there's a place or two that he might be able to get in through the house, into the basement. So she's down there stuffing stuff in them holes. And boy, if that snake got in the house, she said, I don't know how I could ever go back down there. So you don't want him in, do you? If you could see what the devil could do to you, and if you could see how terrible he could look when he gets in where he can get to you, you'd guard the perimeters more closely of your life, of your mind, of your ears, your eyes. You'd put a guard up and say, no, sir. No, 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 no. So when we're watching and we see something's dangerous, we're to put a stop to it and cast it out. The world, in its wisdom, though, says to be open-minded. See, you're taught by the world to follow your heart. You're taught by the world to be open-minded. Just open your mind and let anything in. Listen to both sides. Get a full view. Let your kids grow up and make up their own mind about their religion and God and everything else. And their gender now. What a bunch of nonsense, foolishness, wickedness. The world says be open-minded, which means to take your guard down and quit watching. That's what the world's really saying when they say be open-minded. Quit guarding. Quit guarding your mind. Let us talk to you. Listen to what we got to say, right? Consider this. It's what happened in the garden. It's how sin entered the world. It's how the whole thing got destroyed. Open-mindedness. Eve should have shut him out, but she didn't. She listened. He was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field. And he talked to her and she listened. And he lied to her and deceived her because she believed his lie. And it wrecked the universe. So what do you think it's going to do when you believe his lie in your life? If it wrecked the whole universe, you don't think it's going to affect your life? Watch ye. Be sober. Be vigilant about it. Be about it. Be busy. Pay attention. Do it diligently. It also means to stop disagreeing and just agree with them. When they say, be open-minded, that's what they're saying. Just quit arguing about it. Disagree with us. It's really convenient for the enemy. Then he has the freedom to come and go and do all the damage he wants to without being hindered at all. If you just open your mind, open the doors of your mind. Be open-minded. Ain't that what it means? Just listen to anything. Listen to everything. Be open-minded. I don't believe the Bible teaches us to be open-minded. A guard is useless if he just sits there and does nothing while the enemies come and go. He's more than useless, he's wicked. He's let down his duty. Do you know what would they do to a man in the military who's on guard duty and it's important and everybody's in danger and he goes to sleep? What would they do to him, Raymond? You better believe it, boy. It was a death penalty. In wartime and stuff like that, when you're on guard duty, you're responsible for everybody else. And you lay out there and go to sleep, and the enemy get in, man, you're done for. And rightly so. We got to watch. Because all the devil has is going to be deployed against us to convince us that we've been deceived by God and his people. That's what he's going to do. That's what he did to Eve. See, God's lying to you. You'll not die. That's what the devil's going to come to you. You that are on the fringe, you want me to tell you what the devil's going to say to you? They're wrong. They're not right about everything. You've been open-minded. You've listened to the world. You've let them put stuff in your mind. And all the stuff that is going to be put in your mind is aimed and designed and formed to cause you to doubt the truth. To be shaky in what's right and wrong, what's true and false when it comes to God and spiritual things and the Word of God. That fact is specifically warned about in the Bible, using such words like this. The way of the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Seduce. That's the word that's used for how the devil gets the righteous to leave the good way, where there's peace and harmony and goodness and blessing. To get him to leave all that and go to the sewer of the world, he seduces them. Which is to charm, to lie, to deceive. There's other words used in the Bible like deceived and beguiled. The serpent beguiled Eve. He beguiled her. He charmed her. There's the word bewitched. Who hath bewitched you? You know? To charm, to deceive, to win you over. That's how the devil does it. That's what he's out to do. And we're to watch for that and believe in lies. Just always remember that God doesn't sanctify people and then later they learn from somewhere that they were misled and lied to about it. You hear me? God doesn't do that. He doesn't sanctify people. And then later they learn that, well, God didn't tell you the truth. He didn't tell you the whole truth. I mean, you've been deceived by God, so doesn't happen. Now, the devil will lie to you and make you think that, but it doesn't happen. When you learn the truth about any matter from the Word of God and then abandon that, that's apostasy. That's not growing in grace or wisdom or knowledge. And I've seen people do that. I've seen people who believe what the Bible said about how you ought to dress. Yeah, and abandon it and go off and listen to the world and their stupid, wicked arguments about it. You didn't grow in grace. They always think they have. They think they're on a higher spiritual plane than us old-fashioned, old fogies, they used to call us, who just stick with them old ways no matter what. They think they're more spiritual. Bless your heart, you old man. You and your old-fashioned ways, bless your heart. You're just not with it. You just don't understand him. No, you didn't grow in grace. You're an apostate. Yes, sir. That's apostasy. Yes, sir. It's abomination to God. Yes, it is. You better stick with what the Bible says and the ways that are right. A person who does this has not risen to a higher spiritual plane of understanding. They've sunk into darkness and confusion. But the devil makes you believe that you're more enlightened. Oh, I've experienced that. I experience it all the time. People that used to, I know people used to, preachers, I know them that used to preach right. They appeared to. They used to believe like I do. But they've changed for money, for prestige, for position, for success. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they don't have to worry. They're not going to be out in a sawmill in the morning sweating and eating sawdust and breathing it. They're not going to be doing that. Nope. They're sitting in air conditioning, maybe planning their next vacation trip, their next cruise, the next big meeting they're going to go to, or the next restaurant they're going to go to eat. That's what they're doing. And they don't preach anymore what they used to preach. They don't believe anymore what they used to believe when they were ordained. They don't believe what they said when they were ordained anymore. And but they feel like they are way up here. And people like us are just poor old hillbillies. They just didn't ever learn any better. Bless their hearts. They write books and sell them. Make more money. They write books and gives them prestige. Mm-hmm. They're apostates. They're not more spiritual. You don't abandon the truth because of grace. You don't get more grace when you've abandoned the truth. And when just a poor old dumb, uneducated hillbilly like me can read the Bible and say, this is what it says. And they say, they don't believe that. Well, then we got a problem here. Amen. It's like Romans chapter 6, what we was reading this morning. How in the world can you have a doctor's degree in theology and you've read that and studied that and dissected it and you read that and get this junk out of it to our preaching?
Right.
How in the world a 10-year-old child can read it and understand exactly what it's saying? And it ain't what they're preaching. They do not have more enlightenment. They were not watching. And the enemy sneaked into their mind and seduced them and beguiled them and bewitched them until they are totally deceived about themselves, about God, about what's true and what's right and wrong. And they're taking the multitudes with them. The pride, the contradictions, and the hatred for holiness reveals this clearly, as well as the misery that's manifested in their life. My goodness, I'm telling you what. 25, 30 years ago, when we went to church, even up at Piedmont, you know, a preacher, if you seen him wearing shorts, that was it, buddy. I mean, he's a reprobate. That's what we thought. And I pretty much still think that way. What do you think about that? One of the girls from the church married this guy, and he's a preacher, and he come back. I shouldn't say this, but it's being recorded, and it's going to go out there, but so what? I mean, nobody likes me anyway, so what's this going to hurt? Preacher found out he was wearing shorts. Seen a picture of him somewhere wearing shorts, and that is the end of it, buddy. He ain't preaching here no more, and as far as I know, he ain't never. You say, well, that's just ridiculous. No, you're ridiculous.
Yes.
You don't understand.
Yes.
Well, about righteousness, about holiness, about nakedness,
yes,
about what pleases God and displeases God. You don't understand about what's worldly and unholy and unclean. You don't understand. You don't understand about what is holy and what is clean and what is righteous, because you ain't been watching. He got you. He's infiltrated your mind. He's watered down your thinking until you don't even think anything really is wrong anymore, unless it's something that hurts you. As long as it ain't affecting you, you don't care. They let everybody do what they want to. That's between him and God. No, there's rights and there's wrongs. And there's still people in this world that believe what's right and what's wrong and got some standards about things. It ain't going to move. And I'm one of them. Yep. In case you ain't figured that out, I ain't changing. I done come this far. I believed it this far. I'm more firm in what I believe now than I've ever been. And so I ain't going to throw it down the drain. And I ain't going to let the devil come in and talk me out of it. You know how he'll do it? You know how he always does it? He brings people to you and they just seem so sweet and so spiritual. It seems like they just love God and God's work. It seems like they're doing so much good. They do that stuff. What about that? What about that? You think they're lost? A lot of the time, that's exactly what's wrong. Yeah. Oh, we're going to find out pretty soon. Ain't going to be long. We're all going to stand before the judge of the universe. You'll find out then. We will find out who's right and who's wrong. I'm going to stick as close as I can to what I read in the Bible. You can do as you please. You can listen to the devil. You can listen to the world. You can just let down your guard and be open-minded. And you can follow your heart and your emotions and your feelings. And you can just hug up to everybody else that'll comfort you and aid you in this rebellion against God. But you're going to find out it's going to go hard, hard for you when you face God. You're not going to be comfortable at all when all of it's stripped away and you stand there naked before God. Your soul naked before God. No defense. Be watchful, Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. That's about where we're at right now, ain't it? Just about to die, reckon? Don't it look like that to you? The churches are empty where the truth is preached, where there's any kind of standard of holiness, where evil is condemned. This is what it looks like. Look around you. Yes, sir, buddy. I was like, we was over here yesterday, and I was just kind of meandering around. We was doing some things, and I was just rehearsing in my mind all the times I've been here to this church through the years. I rehearsed in my mind the different men that I've saw stand behind this pulpit and preach to a house full of people in this building, these pews you're sitting in right now.
Yep.
Yeah, men of renown. And look at it now. See? And you can say what you want to. Most of you are too young to even remember. You weren't even alive back then. Most of you weren't. When I sat in this church and I heard these men and I was here, I'm telling you, they preached a lot like I preach to you right now. I've sat here and heard skinning, I mean plowing deep, and I mean preaching. And the crowds would shout and say amen. And this church had a day one day when all the women burnt their pants. Right in front of the whole town here. Can you imagine that? Buddy, that ain't going to happen now. No, sir, boy. But they did back then, yeah. And the house was full. But now, strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. We're on the death throes of what's left. Better strengthen what remains. That's what he said. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, which are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Mercy, mercy. Why are things about to die? Because somebody wasn't watching. We're going through all these books back here. Say, man, you're getting too credit. You ought to go through these books. All these books in these boxes, a lot of them, and we've actually thrown away. We've burnt some of them because they were so bad. There was two or three books in here that was like a written story from Muhammad's 9-year-old wife. Exalting her and presenting her as a spiritual, knowledgeable person. Yeah, here in the church library. I mean, and lots of stuff from years gone by. Years, I'm talking about 30, 40 years ago, that make you blush to read them. Yeah. I've not found thy works perfect before God. I'm telling you, somebody wasn't watching. And the devil got in and destroyed it. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. He's talking to his people and saying, you better watch. Because I'm going to come as a thief. What he means by that is I'm going to come when you ain't a-thinking I'm coming. In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So you better watch, watch. Jesus told us over and over. He said, you better watch. Be ready. Watch. Be ready. What are you watching for him? You watching against all the evil that's out to get you? Are you watching for the evil against your family, your marriage? You better. I see so many people that are not watching. And disaster is just impending. All right, stand fast in the faith. Let me hurry up. What faith? What faith are you supposed to stand fast in? What faith are we supposed to contend for? The faith once delivered to the saints. The same faith that Abraham had. Same faith that Moses had. Same faith that Jesus had. We're supposed to have his faith. And we're supposed to have the same faith that Peter and Paul and all the rest of the early church had. All the saints down through the ages. We're supposed to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It ain't changed. It ain't changed in this modern, contemporary, anything goes time. When everybody's let down the watch and let everything in, you're supposed to contend for the faith. The faith, not the apostate brethren, so-called. Amen. You get me? People are too loyal to causes, to local churches even. Man, I hate to say that, but I mean, that's people do. People get loyal to preachers, to causes, to movements. They become a part of that. Better be faithful to the faith. Better defend the faith. Contend for the faith. The same faith. It's the same faith. The faith of our fathers. Not some new modified version that accommodates worldliness and carnality and earthly, sensual, devilish reasoning. We got to look back to find our bearings because the wind blows and the boat rocks. And we're apt to drift off course because of all that is going on around us. So you got to get your bearings from somewhere besides the right here and now. You got to have ropes tied off way out yonder and way out yonder, reaching back in time. Y'all hear me? You can't just believe in a certain person. You can't just follow a certain person. You better have your moorings tied out farther than that. You're going to get lost. You're going to get wrecked. I was telling somebody the other day, Gary, I think, about, you know, back, we got all this GPS stuff. I have to fool with it all the time with people trying to get to us where we live, to buy lumber and stuff. And they, GPS, give me your address. Well, it ain't going to work for you. And can't convince nobody of that. But we were talking about it. And that SR-71 Blackbird airplane that they made back in the 60s, it still outdoes everything they got now. That thing didn't have no computers. There wasn't any computers back then. It didn't have GPS because there was no GPS back then. But they could fly that thing at Mach 4 plus and keep a 1,000-mile heading right on the mark. You know how they did it? The stars. Yes, they used the stars, just like the ships used to do. But they were sophisticated about it. And the stars are a long ways away. That's how you keep your bearings right here and now. You got something you're looking at that's far off. You got to go back. That's why you need to know about our spiritual ancestors. That's why you need to read the Bible and you need to know about Noah and Moses and Abraham and all of the rest of them. You know how they believed, how they dealt with the devil trying to wreck their lives. That's why we're told about all the trouble in their lives of David and all of them. We know about their mishaps and their near shipwrecks and everything. And those were given to us for our ensamples. That we shouldn't do that. The more you know about them, that's why I say to you all the time, read your Bible, know your Bible. It's how you're going to know what to do right now. It's how you're going to know how to defend yourself and how to stay safe in these perilous times that we're living in. We got to have a fixed position somewhere behind us to reckon from. And not from the change in atmosphere around us. You can't just tell. You can't find your way unless you've got an anchor in the past. Somewhere back there, someone was on course. And they were not all just wandering around and confused. They knew what was right and what was wrong. Seek ye out the old paths. For therein is the good way. That's how you'll find your way. The prophet said, Jeremiah said, seek ye the old paths. When they knew what was right and wrong, and when they had the way to go. Somebody's wanting to know what the old time religion was this week. Look back. Seek the old paths. Go back to a time when everything was at least nearer right than it is now. They want to make our country evil from the beginning. Well, we all know, we're not stupid, that everybody wasn't a Christian when this country was founded. And all of our presidents and lawmakers and judges and all through the years that this country's been here, they were not all godly, righteous people. But I don't care what you say or anybody else tries to portray, it used to be a better place than it is now. There used to be justice. Yes. There used to be some justice. There's never been a time when it was all justice. There's been terrible things done. Yes. The black people were not done right. The Indians were not done fairly. They didn't get justice. Let me ask you something. Have you got justice in your life? In your few years you've lived on this earth, has everything that's happened to you been just and right? Hey, welcome to a sinful world. It's been wrecked by sin from the Garden of Eden. It's been that way ever since. Now that's a shame. And I feel bad for people that get injustice. We don't want it that way. But we can't do nothing about what's happened in the past. But we can go back and we can find where there was more justice than what we got now. Where there was more truth than what we got. Go back and look where they were. And drop an anchor there and work from there. We got to have a fixed position somewhere behind us. And somewhere back there, somebody knew what was right and wrong. Without all the gadgets and means of communication that we have now. Now, with all the means we have at our disposal to help each other watch, no one seems to know anymore what's right and what's wrong. So I told you this morning, you could be encouraging one another with your little gadgets and stuff instead of passing jokes and poison and laugh and profanity. You'd be encouraging. You know, somebody's just slipping and sliding. You know, how about just dropping them a text saying, hey, I'm praying for you today. You know. You watch somebody stop eating. You see them get sick and they don't have an appetite. And you just watch them waste away. That's the way it is in church. You watch people do that. They start missing. They ain't here half the time. And none of the time. Watch what happens to their soul. I've seen it for 40-some years now. I've been watching it happen. Sad thing. You want to reach out to people? We can. We can. Doing just what I just said there. Make a difference. You realize some little something like that could make the difference. Instead of working from a fixed point of reference that's sure and steadfast, just make it up as you go and feel your way around in your confusion. You don't want to do that. You want to have something to go back to. Back when they had blizzards and stuff and a farmer on the prairie had to go to the barn, he'd tie a rope to the house so he could follow that rope back when you can't see. That's the way you did it. That's the way you do it spiritually too. You better have it tied off somewhere. Somewhere where you know you can get back to. All right, quit you like men. Be strong. Don't be like women and children. Be like men. Simple. Quit you like men. Don't act like a woman if you're a man. Don't act like a woman or a child if you're a man. Be a man. What are men supposed to be? Strong. That's right. God made us stronger. Physically, every other way. So be strong. Don't be a sissy. Don't be a weak, limp-wristed. I can say all kinds of things, but it would get carried away and it wouldn't be very nice. I don't know how it is. I don't understand this stuff like you was talking about a while ago, you know. Man, I remember when, and this is going to really knock you down now, but when we started going together, she gave me her class ring, and I wore it on a string around my neck inside my shirt. I didn't have a hair on my chest till I started wearing that ring. I think when we got married, I had 3 hairs on my chest. I was proud of them, too. I wouldn't have pulled them out or shaved them off like some man. That's a fag. What are you talking about? What in the world? Couldn't wait to get some whiskers, you know. Soon as I could grow sideburns, I had them all the way down to here. And before I could, when they wasn't thick enough, I'd get shoe polish and get in the mirror and try to, because I, you know, make them where you could see them. There's hair there, you just couldn't see it. Now boys want to be slick and smooth. And you wonder why we're in such a shame. It takes strength. Somebody's got to be strong. I can just go on. Quit you like men. Be like what a man is supposed to be like. Strong. Quit yourself like men. Stop listening to your own deceitful heart and feelings. Men are designed by God to rise above that kind of guidance system. Y'all hear me? Gary has to work with a bunch of women down there. Anywhere you work anymore, that's kind of how it is. And what is going on all the time in the workplace? There you go. Drama. But he said, you should have seen what he said. Yeah, he looked at me. I know what he's trying to get to me. Oh, it's just like a soap opera all the time. Now, if you get offended at that, just get offended at that. That's the truth. That's the way it is. And everybody knows it. Men, when they're working together, don't act like that. I mean, they joke and clown around and pull tricks on one another, and sometimes they get mad. They don't cry. They don't do that. And they don't, I'm not going to speak to you. Anybody at the workplace said when he's working on construction, ever cry and say, I'm not going to speak to you as long as you live? No, that ain't the way men do. I mean, you just beat the fire out of each other until something settled. That's the way you do it. Now, women don't do that. They just cry. Once in a while, they might slap or scratch, but, you know, not very often. Do they? Quit you like men. We're in a battle here. There's a whole lot at stake. And there ain't no time for men to be sissies and weak and confused and not sure of themselves and know what's right and know what they're about. We need men who know the truth, who stand for the truth, and who won't back up. Quit yourself. Quit determining your course by your own lust and dreams and find something besides yourself worth fighting and dying for. How about God and righteousness? That's a good suggestion for you. That's worth dying for. That's worth fighting for. God and righteousness. It's worth being strong for. That's worth standing against the devil for. It's worth fighting for your family for. Yes, be strong, but not to defend yourself or to maintain yourself. You're just a bully, if that's what it's about. If you're just defending your own honor, if you're just defending your own self, that's not anything to be honorable about. Men, quit yourself like men. Men have something that they fight for. Their families, you know. Their children, their country. That's what men do. That's what they do. It's honorable. It's a thing that's godly to stand and be strong and defend. Quit yourself like, watch ye. Be strong in the faith. Quit ye like men. Not like women. Not like children. Be strong. Strength is not for you to feel better about yourself or proud of yourself. Be strong against evil. That's what strength is for. Y'all hear me? I'm going to quit. I know you get so far and then it kind of gets. What is strength for? Why did God make us this way? Why did God make men with some strength? I mean, we can open our own jars and stuff. Not too long ago, she was just, and she was just straining with all she had to open a jar. She finally just gave up. And I thought, man, that must really be stuck. I just picked it up. You ever have that experience? Any of you guys have to have your wife open your jars for you? You wouldn't admit it right now for nothing in the world, would you? But your wife would tell on you. If she could get a chance, you better put your hand on her mouth. Be strong against evil, because that's what strength is for. Be strong in the defense of what's right, according to the Word of God, because that's what strength's for. It's not to defend your own self. It's not to stand up for yourself. It's not to show somebody something. It's to stand for what's right and to stand against evil. Be strong and stand. Don't back up like a coward. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. You got to watch and you got to be strong. Hope you remember these things. Because the devil is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I wonder if he's going to devour your life. I wonder who's sitting here right now, in our little group here right now. I wonder what the devil is going to be able to do to you, because you won't watch. You know, everybody ought to just look around, everybody, and just think, you know. And a lot of times, you want me to tell you this, now, soberly, it's not the ones you think. It's the ones you least suspect. The ones you have the most confidence in, sometimes they're the ones that fall prey to the devil. Watch for one another. Watch. You know, be careful what you share with other people. Sometimes, you know, you give somebody something and it's the thing that starts them on the road to destruction. Be very careful. Be very careful what you let your children see, hear, listen to. Sometimes a seed is sown from something you'd never suspect. That grows and sprouts in their life and leads them to big trouble. Amen. Okay. Stand. Let's stand. Y'all get the message, don't you? Watch. Watch about your soul. Watch about your life, your home, your family. Watch about your marriage. Watch about your children. Watch about the church. This church. Watch. You know, we take precautions. I try to keep the doors locked while we're having church. Because, you know, we're in danger. Did anybody worry about it? I mean, you consider that? You think about that? Watch. Watch. A lot of churches now, the ones that are got any wisdom about them, they're watching. They're not just going to sit there and let somebody come storming in on them, like has happened in the last year here, different times. Why did that happen? Wasn't watching. Wasn't expecting it. Well, it's peace and safety. We're in a church. We're in a sanctuary. It can't happen. That never happened. Why would that happen? You better think about that in your own life. Better think. There's danger. Watch ye. Be vigilant about it. There's so many things. Now, I'm going to quit, I promise you. But the imagery that is taken over everything is evil. All these demon-looking images and all of this stuff is demonic. And I don't care what you say. You may say, there ain't no harm in it. Yes, there is. It accompanied this apostasy. It accompanied all this darkness and wickedness that has just fell over us. I don't like the toys. I mean, even when our kids were smaller, we got rid of toys that people give them and stuff. I said, no, I don't want that here. It's a demonic looking outfit. And you say, well, it's just a toy. You're open-minded. You're not watching. You're not guarding. There, you better realize, don't you even recognize evil when it's looking you right in the face? The imagery and everything. It's not only the nakedness and the pornography that's everywhere. It is just the plain old witchcraft and evil, demonic stuff. It can just be right out in the open now because he doesn't have to hide it. Ain't nobody paying no attention. People are not even adverse to witchcraft anymore. It's okay. I mean, there's good witches. That ain't what the Bible says.
Right.
Does anybody know what the Bible says about witches? That's right. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Mother Earth, you ever hear about that? That's witchcraft.
Exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mother Nature, that's witchcraft. If you're guarding, you'll recognize that. So, God created all things. It's from the creation of all things. We can clearly see God, even His eternal power and Godhead. All things that we can know about God is clearly seen, not Mother Nature. It's witchcraft. Do you see? I mean, oh well. Bow with me and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the warning. Thank you for the warning to my soul. Help me, Lord, to obey what I've preached myself here tonight. Pray you to help everybody else to be alert and awake and attentive and on guard against the devil and the powers of evil that are at work around us with every intention of destroying us and leaving us all in confusion and destroyed. I pray you, Lord, that we'd be serious about this. People wouldn't laugh at it, mock at it. Pray you to cause people even here tonight that hear this and others that'll hear it out there. Lord, I pray that they'd wake up and realize this stuff is real. And we don't need to see a demon behind everything, but we need to be sober and vigilant and we need to watch. And we need to be able to discern good and evil according to your word. And we need to resist the evil and cast it out and put the good in and obey. Lord, I pray you'd bless each one as we leave here tonight. Help us through the next few days as we go back out of here, back out of the sanctuary into the world. Lord, where we're surrounded by these things, please help us to be strong. Help us to stand for what's right and not be beguiled, seduced, and bewitched by this world around us. Lord, please help us. Working hearts, in Jesus' name, amen.